Hello everybody, and welcome back to the AntPod. This is now episode 28, and today we are talking about nuptial flights in captivity. The reason we are talking about this is Tetramorphin bicarinatum has become one of a quite famous species this year / last year. I guess this is still 2022 once this podcast release. But yeah, it's made us talk a little bit about inbreeding, and also after talking with Casey. Casey, he keeps two species of all of his colonies because then one day he may be able to inbreed them. And it just made me note down nuptial flights in captivity as a podcast. And here we are, doing that podcast. So I know Jake has prepared some numbers for us. But yeah, I just want to say we also have to define... we just talked about this before we started recording, but we have to define what nuptial flight actually is. Because as we just talked about before we started, is it a nuptial flight when a Tetramorphin bicarinatum is inbreeding within a colony and never actually flying? What do you think, Lynn?
Well, that is the hard part of it, because it's called nuptial flight. So in my eyes, they should be flying and not like the Tetramorphin are doing, just climbing on top of each other.
Yeah, I would agree on that. I wouldn't myself consider it a nuptial flight. What are your thoughts, Jake?
Yeah, I don't really consider it a nuptial flight. It just doesn't feel the same. It's like a flying ant day. That's something special, but the Tetramorphin breeding in their nest is not the same.
No, I agree. Well, Jake, you said that you have prepared some numbers to me. Now, I don't know what these numbers are, but... Can you? What are the numbers?
Well, it's mostly my view on the kind of nuptial flights in captivity. And I don't think there's any kind of issue with the ants. They should 100% be able to do it, because the ants, they want to go and get busy, if you get what I mean. And So they're kind of already, they're in the mood. And all you've got to do is kind of engineer the environment to make it happen. So you should be okay. It should be possible if you just engineer the environment to kind of let it happen. So, and then I've got kind of, at the moment, I've found kind of three potential kind of solutions. If you were to think, oh, I want to breed some ants in captivity of like any species, I guess you could, you've got, you could try it on Earth with kind of a wind tunnel, if you were lucky, but like a vertical wind tunnel. But that's the cheaper version.
Why would you need a wind tunnel?
Well, you want them to fly a bit, but you don't want them to. You got to give them enough time to couple up, but you don't want them to get out, if you get what I mean. But you want to be able to collect them back up if they're exotic. So you got a wind tunnel, and then if you're a little bit richer, it is actually possible, and I believe scientists have actually done it, to artificially inseminate ants. They've done it in Atta species so far, but that's a little bit more expensive, that, and I don't think you're gonna kind of make your money back. I don't have a price on that though, because it's hard to find. The third option, though, which I think is actually the best option, but it's also the most expensive option, is space. Because in space, if you can get them in the mood to kind of fly, you've got no gravity to mess around with. Like, they can bump off everything. It's perfectly fine. And you can position them kind of easily, if you get what I mean. So space would be the best place if you wanted to have an artificial nuptial flight. Problem is, it would cost a lot. I think for 4 days, sending some people to the moon, it's 4.1 billion. But you could probably cut that down a bit, because you wouldn't need four people. You could have one person and quite a lot of ants. However, if all the ants cost about 120 quid, you'd need 34 million Atta queens fertilized in your 4 days, and I think that's going to be quite difficult to make a profit on. Yeah.
Oh my god, Jake. This was not at all what I expected you to say.
Yeah, that's me numbers.
No, just the whole wind tunnel and everything. I mean, I'm thinking super simple. Just to put two colonies with a big outworld next to each other. And then just spray some water on them. And then they are like, ooh, it's humid. Let's fly up and mate. And then I don't know what. But I definitely weren't thinking within the wind tunnel. I mean, I don't know about you, but I think it would be quite possible to just under a bucknet. Yeah, Casey's in the comments today, so he's reading in or listening in. He also says that if they're not flying, it's not nuptial flights, it's just nuptials, which, I mean, can't argue with that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. but yeah, I mean, personally, I think it would be... I mean, the thing is, it comes down to the Ankeeper, the YouTuber, the Ankeeper. He did a Polyrhachus experiment where he had two colonies with virgin males and females. And as far as I remember, Jake, you saw the video yesterday almost, so you will be able to recap this a little bit better.
Yeah.
Can't you just recap it?
Yeah, I can semi-recap it, although I can't say the ants that were actually in it because it's never really confirmed and the names are hard. But he got his two Polyrhachus colonies, which were the same species. I think he caught them in the same like local area as well. And one colony had just males and the other colony had produced just female alates. So he basically took the males and the females out of each colony. I'm guessing he put them in the tub and just left them for a few days and let them do their thing. And he came back and, yeah, the tub had some queens with their, like, wings shed and a lot of dead males, which I don't know, would kind of suggest maybe they'd done their job and, yeah, had finished.
Yeah, it could be interesting to hear a part two, to actually hear rather workers have come out of the queens. What I'm scared of is that they have just cut off their wings and the males have died due to a lack of food. Because I'm guessing that they need some kind of pheromone, they need smelling, like a nuptial flight smell before they actually start doing it. And if it's just in captivity and they've just been put together, I don't know if they would actually...
There's no pheromone involved, I don't think. It's literally just the right conditions and it's random as well. Like, it might appear sometimes that all the ants are going out at the same time because they've all let each other know, but it is literally like completely random. And you could have one ant colony that's going out and the one next to it could just be like, no, we're not going out today. Like,
but yeah, when you're saying that,
it's pheromone, it's just like the right temperature and all of that sort of thing. Yeah.
But when you say that, you make me question everything. Because how does Salacious, Flavus, and Niger then not mate when they are flying almost simultaneously? Because I've always told myself that it's... Again, I've told myself it's no factual or anything. But I've said to myself that they have spread a pheromone. And then the other species kind of... Yeah, then the other species kind of know, okay, let's fly,
like trigger time. Like,
yeah.
Like the trigger. I know the like queens, I guess, the Lassius niger queens, or I guess they'll smell different to the kind of Lassius flavus as well. But I guess that's part of it. But I don't know how they'd smell it up in the air. But...
Lynn, you are a knowledgeable female. What are your thoughts?
Well, with the pheromone part, I'm not sure actually if they would spread. I guess they would have some kind of smell. That they would know who is who, I guess, but I'm not entirely sure if that's the case.
So how do you think it works then? Also, I don't know why I said knowledgeable female. I just said knowledgeable ankeeper. But yeah, that's yeah. How do you think it works then?
Well, yeah, that's the thing.
Not an easy question. All right, well, My whole thing with the problem with doing nuptial flights in captivity is even if you have like a massive... Oh, hang on. We can just get up a comment because we have a comment. Miraculous Ants says, I think it is indeed possible under the right conditions. It would be possible if it would be possible to add an extra outwell where normal workers can't get in, so only elates of two different colonies can come together and mate. I think this would help stop the extinction. I don't know how you say it.
Extinction.
Yeah, of some rare species. And he goes on to talk a little bit more. But I think that's actually a good call, because if you can somehow only get males and females to get into an arena, they won't necessarily fight, and then they could fly up and mate if you have like a 2-meter arena or something. Of course, just a plastic box or something. But I don't know. I mean, in my head, it sounds like something we could make. But the problem is just if we can trigger them, because that's what I personally think is the hard part.
Well, so, like with my maculatus, if the room is quite warm, because my mature maculatus has males and females, they will try to climb up. So I think that if you have like the outworld and then a pillar in that outworld that leads to a box of which the edges, how do I explain this? A bit like your ATA setup, that the rope goes into a pipe, but it does not touch the sides of the pipe. But this time it will go into a box and it will not touch the sides of the box, but the queens and males would be able to fly off the sides, I guess, because they will try to fly up, or at least they will try to. They will probably fail, but that way the workers will not be able to fly into the or climb into the box.
Yeah, that's definitely one way.
I completely forgot the other part of the question, but with me, they always I'm not sure which days they do it, if it's the temperature or like the pressure in the weather changing, but sometimes the maculatus queens and males start to climb randomly up the sides of the outworld. And I think that might be a trigger. So if you just put like the outworld side by side for like a long time, no matter what day it is, you can just check daily, I guess, to see if something has happened or not.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure that like an outworld would be like big enough though. I just imagine you'd need like at least 10 meters, if you get what I mean, of like vertical space or something.
A giant butterfly net. Oh wait, what are those things called that you put over a bed for the against the mosquitoes? Use one of those.
Yeah, giant mosquito net. It might work. And then put like some sort of lamp at the top so they all fly around it. Like, yeah.
Well, now I want to try it. Yeah, can someone send me some maculatus mails?
yeah, that's true. Yeah, you also said that you have, of course, you have the drones and you want... Is it something you actually want to try to mate with a different colony?
Yeah, because once I sent photos of the maculatus female alates inside of one of the Discord groups, I got contacted by a lot of French antkeepers that also have drones and queens, and they actually want to trade drones and queens because one of the French antkeepers managed to get a queen impregnated by a drone. And there's no records or anything or photos because everything is in French and it happened in a French Discord, and he did not make any videos of it because it's a YouTuber. Let's hope he listens to the end pod so he can react on this. But he says that it happened with one of his queens, and he had a queen that has started a colony.
So impressive.
Cool.
That's really why I want some drones.
Yeah, then you can get rich.
No. I don't want to get rich. I just want to try it.
Gonna be breeding ants for days. It's funny. I've always just thought it would be impossible, because I've thought of these pheromones that have to be like spread, But it's the same that you said in another podcast, Jake, that your Rubas, they just would try to fly when the weather was perfect outside, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they know somehow. It might be like the extra light and the heat and all of that sort of thing. But yeah, I think it's kind of, that's what triggers it.
Yeah. That's fascinating. I mean, let's just go over to another. Of course, we asked if any of the viewers had any thoughts on this. This is one name I don't know how to pronounce. Melchior? Melchior. Definitely how you pronounce
Melchior.
It. Another way of pronouncing it.
He's Dutch, so I know.
okay. Well, I think my pronunciation was a little bit better, but that's how it is. I had a Caribera, a Finnis colony that had many nuptial flights. It started with queens and then later more males. Hang on, this. It just gets me thinking about something different. Polyragus dives, they also inbreed, but I guess that's just inbreeding like by carinatums, if I'm not wrong. Because I remember the colonialist, he at one point said that his colony was inbreeding. But I guess that's just inbreeding, so that's not on topic.
I'm actually not sure.
I don't know how many queens you need. I don't know if you can do it with one queen or do it with like two queens or more.
I've also heard some species, they only this is also a little bit regarding inbreeding, but they only inbreed if they have enough queens, if they have enough founding queens that are together from different genes. So one queen won't be able to inbreed. But this also, yeah, it's why it's a little bit too hard to track the DNA of ants because it's just so confusing. Like half of all ants in all the ants. I mean, I think you are antimatters. You sell all your bicarb. You sell stock and antics with bicarbonatum queens, right?
Yeah, I've got those.
Yeah, so I've got ant bicarbonatums from ant antics, which is just from your colony. And if I were one day to sell some of my bicarbonatums to some other Danish people, all of the ants in Europe almost would just come from this one colony, but that's just...
It'll be genetically identical, pretty much.
Yeah.
That would be like really weird as well. Imagine testing it and it'd be like, we've got a test here from kind of, I don't know, Europe. And it's like, it's this genetics here. And then they'd be like, we've got a test from the UK. And it'd be like, it's the same ones.
Yeah, but I guess it's a lot like Argentinians. I don't know if I haven't really seen many keeping Argentine ants in captivity, but I'm guessing it's a lot of the same. What did you say, Lynn?
They're horrible to keep. They're not fun at all.
Is it anything you've tried?
With a tiny colony, yeah. But they're like Tetramorium is like fun to watch, but the Argentine ants are just like really annoying for some reason.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I don't really know how to explain it, but they always, like, they are, I think, a bit boring, even.
Oof.
And they're, like, evil as well. If they find another colony and they can get their hands on it, like, they're evil little ants.
I don't know how expensive a Maculatus queen is, but if you can inbreed them, somewhat inbreed them, then you don't have to pay for shipment or for the queens from wherever they are from the initial colony. And then, yeah, it sounds like a quite safe money-making way, at least if you know what you're doing. So it'll be interesting.
You can get it to work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I've heard of one shop that's, I can't remember which shop it is though. And it was a long time ago, but an ant shop somewhere did manage to breed, I can't remember the species either, but they got a village hall and they opened both of whatever the ant was, like both colonies, and just let them go wild in like this village hall for a few days, like just let the elates and the, like let them all out in the hall and collected them all up. And I think it actually worked. And but yeah, that seemed to work. I just can't remember any of it. It must have been quite a long time. I think it was at least like 5 years ago, maybe.
Yeah, Casey says you don't have to pay for the footwork, no labor cost. And that's the exact thing. You don't have to pay for a guy looking for a queen and then shipping it over to you to resell it, or shipping it just over to you. So it could it not necessarily bring the price down, but it would bring the earnings up for the sellers. It makes me wonder if, yeah, there must be some people trying to test it, because it, yeah, sounds like a way that you can earn a little extra.
It also like bring up the kind of sustainability of the ant, I guess. If you're not collecting it from the wild, it's always, I don't know, I always see it as a little bit of a kind of a bonus, if you get what I mean, that someone hasn't gone and dug up a colony in some lovely part of the world and then brought it to England.
Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to say. If you think about the greater picture, how many, like, the wild colonies, how many we would protect and help, and they would recover because the ant-keeping community has grown so much over the last couple of years that there might have been some damage done to the wild colonies, and we don't even know. And if we manage to breed in captivity, imagine how much better it would go for the wild colonies.
I'm just thinking this. Think if we could get a successful breeding station of Mimesia in Europe, how Mimesia would then be a species that you can actually get in Europe. If one guy could just breed them and actually sell them, that guy would be, or guy, girl, whatever you say, could earn some good value, because I heard that Antix bought some Mimesia and they died upon arrival. And I've only seen like Russian people actually get them and keep them. So yeah, that would be a major thing, just because I've always loved or wanted Mimesia and loved them. But it's just something that you can't get simply because the high death rate in shipping. But guys,
definitely something interesting. I know people are trying to do it with the Harbig Nafos as well. There are like groups on the internet where you can send off your like males and females. And I guess if you're lucky, it might work. Although it's still, there's still quite a lot of unknowns there. It's like when they create a male drone in the nest, like does it breed with the kind of lesser or lower females or what?
Yeah, that's the same with ants in a rock. He also, I remembered at one point that he said that he talked with other people about sending. He's now, I just remember the kind of memory of it all. I can't. He has the species where it's a gamma gate system. Yeah, gamma gate. Where you can where they know each other's locations, because then they can send queens and males together, and then you can create new gamma gates. Does this sound right?
Fertile, like queens. But what would be like really nice is to breed atters in captivity, because I can just, that would just be epic.
I mean, if you look at people like Anstavy, he has so many drones, male and female elates, in his Acromyrmex oxpinosus colony. So if you just have another keeper with the same, then you could just mix it up, I guess. Because
you'd have so many.
Yeah, it must be possible.
I've also heard about people with leaf cutters that artificially inseminate the queens. And I'm not sure if this is true, because it was a long time ago that I heard about it.
Yeah,
I read about that. Yeah, they extract the sperm from the males and put it straight in.
And I'm just thinking, why would Sans put that much money into ants? I mean, of course, ants are important for the ecosystem, but try to imagine how much a guy who sat down and just impregnated the queen.
I think the most of the research is like rooted in like bumblebees and like bees and stuff. So I guess one of the scientists got bored one day and was like, I'm fed up of bees. Like, what else can I have a play with?
Let's get some ants. Almost the same.
Yeah, all right. Something like that.
Something I'm very bad at, and I've now written myself a note that I need to remember it, so I think we should do it now, is a few episodes ago I said that if you're listening in on the podcast, that you can send a picture of where you're listening in, and we will talk about it, because that's something very enjoyable. And if you have any thoughts on the podcast, you can also just send them into the AntPod Instagram. We're not too active there, but I check it once in here and there. But we have a message from Kev, who says, "Bro, I love the episodes. Bro, I love the episodes, listening in to them all. Much love." And I just want to say thank you very much. That's we love hearing that.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, we have. It's been a good year. I mean, I guess this is also a little bit of a year podcast, so maybe we can talk a little bit about the later on. But we also have Jan saying, oh, my voice is disappearing, saying, "I like listening to your podcast when I'm studying," and that is what we want to hear. So yeah, shout out to those two guys. Back to today's topic, if we can find a way back. Yeah, I don't know if you guys have anything you want to say regarding the topic, or if you have any thoughts you want to bring out for a discussion. Gonna take.
Not really, although I do know that if you can get him to fly, the what's his name, where the colony comes from, it doesn't actually matter, because they don't actually know who is related when they're up there, and they're literally inbreed, as long as you can get them up there.
Yeah, I've always wondered that, because again, in my head, they've always used pheromones, but I may just be completely wrong. But I've always like told myself that, yeah, with the pheromones, they don't inbreed, and then magic and nature. I've never just thought of it without pheromones, actually. It makes everything a lot more confusing. Like,
in kind of areas of sparse populations of kind of ants, they'll end up kind of inbreeding. It is a ridiculously high amount of time. Or amount of the time, I think it's at least 50%, and it's kind of nuts when you think about it. And it's like, really, like, this is happening all the time, and why can't I do it at home?
Yeah, that's very strange. Also, just go on, Lynn.
In the long run, you shouldn't really want them to inbreed a lot like that, because it will impact the health of the colony that will become a colony. Like, it might not, the workers might not be as healthy as a colony with much diversity in males.
Especially as time goes on as well. Like, if you were to do it a few times, like, down the generations, I guess you would run into inherited problems, sort of thing.
Yeah, but if you just have like 3 or 4 massive colonies and just put all the males and females in a container, and then you have a lot of queens, and then repeat that every year, it would be, yeah, it would be a little bit diverse. But I'm also thinking in nature, they must just over the years get different DNA, because I'm guessing that everything comes from one colony in like one city. All of the colonies must have slowly come from the first colony, from like the right side, and slowly just had a nuptial flight and landing more to the left, had a nuptial flight years later, landed more to the left. Yeah, I don't know how they do it.
That's actually what I wonder about with inbreeding species, because I do think in the end that some might fly, or at least try to fly, or just have fun flying, then get blown away by the wind or something and start their own fresh colony somewhere, because otherwise there would only be one colony of inbreeding species.
It's true. I think the, like, my Tetramorium by Carinatum, they definitely fly. Like, every so often I'll see one of them like zip out the door. And I'm guessing, yeah, it's normally males, I find. So I think the males, they're kind of more expendable. So it's like, yeah, go and see if you can find another colony, infuse your DNA into it, like that sort of thing. Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
Males are definitely more expendable, though. They don't really care about them.
no, they're just meant to mate and die. That's their life.
Poor little things. It's a bit savage, really. Like, when you think about it, it's a bit cruel.
Yeah, I mean, I heard a guy that talked about it, a scientist. He said that they use all of their energy in their mating flight, that they're simply just, they don't have any energy remaining. So even if they want, they just simply can't survive, because what it takes for them to inject the sperm is all they have. Which, so yeah, they go down in style if they are lucky, at least. That's the worst thing, I feel like, when you're just seeing males and female queens, especially the queens that flies days too soon. She'll just have three queens walking around with wings and nothing else around them, just flown without any other flying. So yeah, new queens are also clones. Males are combined genes. Casey says that. I think.
Standing the check tomorrow and by Karen Allen.
Yeah, at least in the inbreeding ones. Oh, so
Right, I
yeah,
think
okay.
yeah.
So yeah, so what Casey says is he thinks that the queens are clones and the males are not clones, but genetically different. Yeah, it would make sense. Well, guys, I must say, I don't know how much more we can say. It's of course a very short podcast, about this topic at least. So for those listening in, hello. Shall we change the topic and just chat a little bit about different things for the final 30 minutes?
So I think I've ran out of like nuptial flight stuff.
But yeah, Lynn, are you still doing the Messer experiment, the Messercephalosis? Is it
Yes, for sure.
standstill, or do we have any news?
Well, I had them in the setup, but the setup was not really proper, I guess, not really very well for them. And I wanted to see really if a Messercephalotes queen could fit in a Saturn. So I've changed the tubes, because the tube was getting kind of dirty and the queen was really aggressive, so she just held on to the tweezers and I moved her into a new tube. And I've also been able to take a good look at the brood at that moment. At that moment, there were only larvae, but now, right now in the Saturn, I can actually see, I think it's four eggs, four fresh new eggs. So that's nice. The queen gave me a little bit of a scare just now, because she was on her side, and I was like, oh my God, please don't be dead. But she's still alive. She's doing fine.
Oh yeah, also a big rest in peace to Casey. We
Oof.
all know how much
Oh yeah,
Casey loves
poor
his bunny
Pogo.
butts.
Oh, as their mammoth sisters.
Yeah. He have lost one of his queens. I think he still has one colony. But yeah, he has sadly lost one of his queens. So a big rest in peace to that one. That's yeah. They are just a European manica. Or vice versa. But yeah, I have been a little bit unfocused today because I've other workers literally all over my floor. So the good thing with a massive open outwell is you can just take a leaf and put it in there and the ants will eat it. And you can just take a new leaf and put it in there. And the leaves can build up quite a bit before you have to remove everything. And I went in and removed everything today. But the problem is there were so many other workers on the leaves that I have to push them off. But due to the leaves being dry, when I pushed them off, I actually catapulted some of the other ones into the ant room. So they just flew out of the arena. And yeah, I've basically gone around like we have had an ant escape, hoovering up ants all over the place since. So yeah, Ada, love them. So much fun. Yeah. Aren't you excited, Mr. Jake?
Well, to be honest, I did have my first big escape. It was on Monday, I think.
Oh.
And oh my God, I'll start from the beginning, I guess. But I took them out of my incubator so I could have a fiddle in there with a few bits. And I didn't notice when I put them down that one of the pipes had disconnected. And I turned around and was doing my thing in the incubator. About 10 minutes later, I turned around because I think the dog was itching, and I was like, "What are you up to?" And then I look at the bed, and the bed was like literally crawling with atta. And yeah, I pulled out the little USB Hoover and just went nuts. And luckily, I think I managed to get pretty much all of them, like 99% of them. But yeah, it was when I looked at the bed there, it was like literally crawling and had a heart attack.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I'm my otter, they're just scary now. It's crazy how many eggs they have. I mean, I look at my Nikos, and my Niko is a big colony, and then I look at the other eggs and larvae, and I think there are more eggs and larvae than there's Nikos workers. It's
And they look
scary.
so small too. Like when you look at your fungus, sometimes it's like, oh yeah, there's probably like a few thousand in there. And then it turns out that like there's an insane amount of ants. It's just crazy how many can come out of a bit of fungus.
Yeah. I mean, the scary thing for me is I have my tube, which is, I think it's a 40 millimeter tube, and I have combined, I think, around what we have 15 and plus 5, around 30 centimeters of pure brood. 30 centimeters of a 40 millimeter tube with pure brood. It's very scary. But the good thing with the other is when they escape, it's they don't I'm never afraid that they're gonna move away and move into the house because, well, conditions.
Yeah, they're just looking for leaves, like
Yeah.
for leaves. Yeah, and they don't really attack the other colonies too much. They're not interested.
No, not when I've had my big escapes. The funny thing is, one of my first escapes, when I actually had to record them, and I put them on the recording table, and they ejected the old humidity sensor probe cap. That was in the old Wakushi, the prototypes, and they went out and they removed all of that trash, and they just went over the table and dropped it, so I could see all along the table at the bottom, we just have one long line of trash. So they just used their, and it's I never could come in and clean it because there were so many workers, but they were like, okay, we're gonna clean it for you. So yeah, they're very nice and tidy ants. And then also they found rose petals. I hadn't fed them rose petals in half a year, and somehow they found rose petals somewhere in my ant room. A bit scary, but yeah.
They do love them. Mine managed to get a few of those the other day, and I saw them walking along with these little white bits of petal, and it was like, where have you got these from? And it turned out it was the shelf above. I had a few like dried petals that had been there for maybe a month, but yeah, they were all over them.
Yeah, I can see we need to do the leaf. We need. I've written down an updated leaf cutter chat for the longest time. I've just pushed it out. So of course, in episode 3 or 4, I think it was episode 3, we did a leaf cutter chat, one of the more successful episodes. So I think definitely we should do an updated chat of that. Back then, I did not keep anything yet. It was with Rich from Ant Antics and with Seth from Wakushi. And those two spread some knowledge, and I was so ashamed that I didn't have any colony myself, but now it's my turn to also share some knowledge, maybe.
I think it would be good because between us, we got quite a lot of different approaches. Like you've gone massive. I've kept mine on a diet. Like I think Rich kind of feeds his as much as he can, if you get what I mean. But he has to harvest the fungus.
Exactly,
And
yeah.
but they all seem to be taking off like really well, if you get what I mean. None of them seem to be struggling along. Like,
No, and then there's Sid, who's just on this strict diet. He's just very strict. I talked with him yesterday, and someone have asked him, how are you keeping the udder size down? And I said to him, you just need to answer, don't feed them. And he said, that's what I answered. That's, yeah.
that's exactly it. Maybe like
Yeah.
once a week if they're lucky. But
But that the problem with my setup is it's such a bad DIY setup that if I don't feed them, they will just escape. I mean, they are escaping from every single corner pretty much every day. They have some corner. I mean, it's not even the outworld. Everything with with the nest itself and the setup itself, tape everywhere, and then they come out of the tape and up here, and then they have... The other day, they have removed an entire tubing piece. It was just gone. They have just bitten it all away, and they have removed from another tube... Yeah, from one of the other tubes, they have removed 3 centimeters now, and I've just kept pushing the tube in, and they just keep biting it, and it's like 3 centimeters that they've just slowly cut away. So, yeah. Definitely up for another leaf cutter chat. That's gets me happy and hyped.
You're gonna have to start using like copper pipe or something soon.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you just used acrylic, I don't think acrylic, because it's hard to grip, so I think that would be good enough. But the problem with this soft vinyl tubing is just too easy for them to grip. My thoughts, yeah, at least.
They got a little grapple of it and they start doing their little tugs. They can chop through anything.
See, now I'm getting scared that they are actually escaping. I feel like there's a little too many workers in the wrong areas, so something to look out for afterwards. Casey also responded with he sadly have lost, I think, both, if not how many he had. He doesn't have any honeypots anymore. So a big rest in peace for Casey. All he wants in his life is some nuptial flights. A nuptial flight is some honeypots. But yeah, guys, do you have any ant news? Oh, wait, we actually have some ant news. The ant pod, I mean, by the time this podcast comes out, it's too late. But the ant pod have actually been nominated to Ant Series of the Year. So a big, big thank you to whoever nominated us. It'll be interesting to see if we win this very prestigious prize. All sponsored by Antimatters. yeah, I feel like that's
absolutely valid.
Yeah, that's really cool that you did that. So for those who don't know, Antimatters have done the video of the year and the Ant series of the year, where people have. I mean, you can explain it better.
Yeah, well, basically, like the cream of the crop, the best videos and the best series. The series are the ones that are kind of long-running stories, like Hood's Solenopsis, that sort of thing, or just like kind of series that have been going for a while, like the Ant Pod or the Picnic Table sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can go over to the latest ANN news and vote for your favorite series of the year, as well as video of the year.
So
I can't really say go and vote for anyone in particular, because that would be biased news or something, but
when
you could go over and vote for someone in particular.
When does the vote stop? Because this won't come out until the 28th. That's just a thing.
Christmas day at midnight. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can go vote, but it's the winner has been chosen. But yeah, I still find it very cool.
It's gonna be a bit late, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Just a few days. I still find it very cool. It's yeah. A good thing. Definitely something to look forward to next year again, with more categories maybe. I saw some good ones in the comments, so yeah, that's all nice.
It's definitely a pleasure like making it, because there was basically like the 5 best videos about, and all I had to do for ages was like make them into a bigger video. But it was a real pleasure just watching these videos like over and over again, and it'd be like, yeah, I know, like. I know what's going on now.
Yeah. That's a lovely thing. Lovely thing. Very happy that you did that. Also, just in ANN news in general, I'm still very happy that you've gone out and made it. That's, yeah. I always, it's sometimes like this past few weeks has been quite busy, but it's nice that you always can recap with watching ANN. So, yeah. Either way.
Cheers, man.
Lynn, do you have any ANN news this week?
Well, other than the small Cephalotus update, I don't have a lot going on, actually.
It's hibernation?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I can say that my ant news, of course, this comes out on the 28th, and on the 1st of January, I will post my next YouTube video, so that's my ant news, I guess. Jake, do you have any ant news outside of your ANN special?
Well, I've got some new ants, basically. I got some yellow crazy ants again. So it's take two on those. And I'm really looking forward to those because I've already, like, totally... I'm just, like, enthralled by them. They're just one of those ants you can sit down and just, like, watch for ages. But it still feels like you've only watched them for, like, 2 minutes. But, yeah, I just love them. Fingers crossed they survive for a little bit. Just one queen this time, but they've, like, she's got 10 workers, which is a massive head start on last time when I had to found them and everything. Yeah,
I got a colony with 5 workers or something, and the workers died one by one. They ate the brood. I never saw what went wrong. I never really could figure it out, but yeah, never made a video on them because they just,
really died out.
Yeah, I think I never made a video. I'm actually not sure. It's all turning into such a weird blend now.
I'm really hoping this time, like, it's my third queen, so fingers crossed, like, third time's the charm. Yeah, although it's not really my third time trying it because it was 2 queens last time.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
I just want the luck. Like, I just, yeah, you kind of just need it, I think, with these ants, don't you?
Yeah, so what happened last time?
Well, I had the 2 queens and they managed to, like, raise up 1 worker and then, like, everything stopped. And a couple weeks later, I looked in and I'd been checking on them, like, regularly, but not disturbing them. But one day I looked in and bam, both queens were just dead. And I don't have a clue what went on. The worker seemed okay, but yeah, a week or two later, she also, like, died as well. And yeah, that was the end of that for a little bit. Yeah, you know, as you, like, lose the queen and it's like, well, I'll give it a bit of time before I do these again, like, yeah.
Yeah, I have so many colonies I want to try out again. It's been a very weird year for me because YouTube-wise, it's been a brilliant year, but ant-keeping-wise, it's been a very bad year. I've just had so much, well, I don't want to say bad luck because it's also self-inflicted some of it due to poor maintenance. But I've become a very changed ant-keeper this year. So yeah. But anyways, guys, I think this will be the end of this podcast. I think we should prioritize getting the Leafcutter chat rolling soon because that is something that I want to talk about and I feel like you as well, Antimatters. And of course, we will get Rich and Set back on so we can do a full set and talk about Leafcutters for a long time. yeah, guys, any final words?
I was going to say Merry Christmas, but it'll be too late when this comes out. But I hope everyone had a good Christmas.
Oh, yeah. We can say Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, exactly. All right. With that being said, Casey joins the fun.
Oh, I was just going to jump in and say Happy New Year and sorry my shop's noisy.
That's all right, Casey. Happy New Year to you as well. Or Happy New Year to the viewers, because we will record the next episode on the 28th, of course. So, yeah. Either way, thank you all for listening in. We have Simon who have listened in a little bit live. So if you want to be a family member, you can listen in live as well, if that's something you like. Either way, you will hear more from us at the AntPod next week.